the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian.
Good morning, young lady. How was your weekend?
Hey, I like your shirt.
Oh, yes, thank you.
It was great.
We, huh?
Well,
we're both asking each other how we're doing. We're talking over each other. Yeah. All right. In regards to the shirt, yeah, we're interviewing the Bleacher Brothers later on this morning. So I figured I'd dress in my Cub attire. Now, how was your weekend?
I love it. My weekend was great. We had such a great time. Great weather. It was a little hot, but you know what? Can't complain. I loved it. So
yeah,
it was wonderful.
Well, good. We got a lot of yard work done on our end. So we're ready for the summer. Yeah.
There you go. Well, let's go ahead and get started with prayer today. We have a full show for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. May your right hand, O Lord, we pray, encompass your family with perpetual help, so that defended from all wickedness by the resurrection of your only begotten Son, we may make our way by means of your heavenly gifts. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Our saint of the day is Saint Margaret of Cortona. So we'll hear more about Saint Margaret later on in today's show. But we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That'll be in just a few moments. Tom Costanza joins us today. He is the executive director with the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. And wow, he has a lot of updates to give us today. Lots of important updates on pro-life Louisiana legislation. So Tom has been very busy, to say the least, in the last couple of weeks. We'll get an update from him shortly. Alan Migliorato joins us. He is a co-founder of Failing Forward Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens today, and he's going to talk about saying sorry. So learning to apologize, and how can we do that? Maybe we can guide our teens to do that in a healthy way. Well, Alan's going to give us details and tips about that. And Father Casey Cole joins us, which is a reason Damian is dressed like he's going to a Major League Baseball game. He's going to talk about the Bleacher Brothers, where they attend games at all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums to meet people where they are and preach the good news. He's also going to talk about his new book, The Way of Beatitude, Living Radical Hope in a World of Division and Despair. So that'll be such a fun interview, Damian. I'm so looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I am too. And by the way, did you stay up late enough last night to see the blood moon or the moon lunar eclipse?
No, I completely forgot about it. Oh. I fell asleep, but I saw it on social media this morning, and some people got some pretty cool pictures.
I tell you what, it was very interesting to see it happening. And but by 11 o'clock, I had to crash. So, partly cloudy skies today. Fortunately, we did have clear enough skies to see the lunar eclipse last night. This morning, we are going to have, as I said, peaking in and out of sunshine, but after that, look for an afternoon shower, maybe even a thunderstorm may blow through. 40% chance of rain is what is in the forecast. The high is going to be 92, low is going to be in the upper 60s overnight. Tomorrow through Friday should be just plumb beautiful. If you can handle the heat, you're going to love the weather. Also, temperatures around the area right now. Baton Rouge and Bay St. Louis, it's 75 degrees. Covington is the cool spot, 72. Hammond, it's 77. New Orleans and Homotivido, 76. Those are your temperatures and your forecast. Don't go away. We do have the gospel and gospel reflection, along with a number of events coming your way here on Wake Up.
Good Monday morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, and the Gospel today comes from John chapter 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
There are two important statements that Jesus makes here which are relevant to our lives. First, notice the importance Jesus places on keeping the commandments, which he equates with love. He said, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me." Then, repeating the same idea for emphasis, he added, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." Keeping the commandments is the essential first step in living the Christian life. And so when the rich young man asked, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus replied, "If you would enter life, keep the commandments." In spite of Jesus' clear teaching, there are those who deny the necessity of keeping the commandments. They falsely claim that faith alone is necessary for our salvation. Then there's the tragedy of many Catholics who pick and choose the commandments they feel like keeping while disobeying others like divorce and remarriage, adultery, fornication, contraception, missing Mass on Sunday, just to name a few. It's far better to face our sinfulness and repent than to hear the awful words at the end of our life, "Depart from me." Jesus' second important statement centers on the promise of the Holy Spirit. "He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The dynamic outpouring of the Holy Spirit is evident on Pentecost, but he also inspired the books of the Bible, of which he is the principal author, and he protects the church, especially in the person of the Pope, from ever teaching error. In addition, the Holy Spirit opens up the Scriptures to our understanding and inflames our love with his powerful presence, thereby making us his living temple. And so, we should frequently pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's Gospel and Reflection. Well, just a quick little announcement. I just wanted to say that on Facebook, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Catholic Community Radio, we have now surpassed 19,000 Facebook followers.
How many?
Wow. So thank you. 19,000. I wasn't going to say anything until we hit 20 because, wow, you know, but, you know, why not? Why not celebrate? Heck, thank you so much for following us on Facebook. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/Catholic Community Radio, and you can actually watch us live on Wake Up. And of course, we're streamed every Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Central. So yeah. Pretty cool, huh, Damien?
I think it's real cool. And it's people all over the country, all over the world. They can watch us, and doesn't cost them a dime.
Yeah.
I don't think, huh? Are we charging? We don't charge people to be a follower on Facebook yet, huh?
No.
Yeah.
No, Facebook's free.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but hey, Elon Musk is looking at charging for Twitter. I'm just saying. Anyway, is great, and I'm very happy. And that's how you get to 20,000, Gabby, is you got to let everybody know where you stand. So. That's good. We're only 1,000 away from that mark. Okay. Well, we got a number of events happening, and even though we're a week or two away in some cases, it's good to put it on your calendar now. For example, the St. Jude Society, located at St. Mary Magdalene Church at 6425 West Metairie Avenue in Metairie, they will have its semi-annual 5-day St. Jude Novena from Monday, June 6th to Friday, June 10th. And the novena will be daily at 12:15. Mass and novena nightly also at 6:30. If you'd like more information, just go to Juanita Landry at Cox.net. That's Juanita Landry at Cox.net.
Awesome. Well, happening on Monday, May 23rd at 6:30 p.m. at St. Agnes Church in Baton Rouge, they will celebrate a St. Charbel healing mass, like I said, on Monday, May 23rd at 6:30 p.m. at St. Agnes in Baton Rouge. For more information, you can call St. Agnes's office at 225-383-4127.
And beginning Thursday, June 2nd, and every Thursday through August 4th from 6:30 to 8:30 at Immaculate Conception Church in Denham Springs, they are going to have Theology of the Body. It's going to be a presentation and discussion. If you'd like to attend, if you've been hearing about the theology of the body for a long time and would like to learn more about it, here's your opportunity. You can register at imageandgift.com, imageandgift.com.
Yeah, well, June is just around the corner. So another event happening on Friday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. This is a prayer vigil for life with the Post-Roe Louisiana Summit. You can join supporters as they gather outside across the street of Baton Rouge's local abortion facility, the Delta Clinic of Baton Rouge. There will be food, powerful testimonies, and praise and worship by candlelight. You may RSVP. It is a free event, though, independent of the summit session, which will be held Friday and Saturday, June 3rd and 4th at Bethany Church in Baton Rouge. For more information, you can go to prolifelouisiana.org. You can RSVP on their website.
All righty. And for you golfers out there, guess what? Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church in Baton Rouge is having their annual Mercy Masters Golf Tournament. It's going to be May 23rd at the U Club or University Club. It's on Nicholson Road in Baton Rouge. If you'd like more information, you can contact Mallory Anderson at mallory.anderson@olomchurch.com. That's mallory.anderson@olomchurch.com. And you got to sign up ahead of time if you want to tee up with the guys and gals who are going to be participating in the Mercy Golf Tournament. Gabby, you play golf?
I don't play golf. My dad and his six brothers are obsessed with golf, so I have in the past for fun. But
yeah, that's the kind of thing where you just putt. You could do that.
I like putt. Okay. That's what I like.
Well, Tom Costanza's coming your way here on Wake Up. Don't go away. It's already 15 after the hour.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 16th. Today we celebrate St. Margaret of Cortona. Franciscans especially honor Margaret of Cortona on this day. While her early life sounds like a cable channel movie, her final years would make an appropriate religious documentary. Born in 1247 to a Tuscan farming family, Margaret grew into a rebellious teen. Unhappy at home, she ran off with a handsome young nobleman. During their 9 years together, she gave birth to a son. When her lover was murdered, Margaret began a new chapter in her life. Humbled and penitent, she returned home to ask her father's forgiveness, but he rejected his daughter and her child. Resolved to move on with her life, Margaret walked to Cortona, Italy, where the Franciscan friars received her and the young boy. Undertaking a life of public penance and service, Margaret spent the remainder of her life serving the sick and devoting herself to prayer. She joined the Third Order of St. Francis and founded a community of Franciscan sisters. Her son eventually became a friar. Margaret died in 1297 and was canonized in 1728. She is a patron of the homeless, of single mothers, and of midwives. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's 19 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Our next guest is Tom Costanza. He is the executive director with the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. And today he's going to give us an update of what he is up to. And I guarantee you he's extremely busy. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Gabby. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's so good to have you with us today. I know that you have been bombarded with work lately, especially in the last few weeks. But I also want to talk about and touch a little bit on Faithful Citizenship Day, which is actually coming up in a couple of days. So tell us about that.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Faithful Citizenship Days are done on several Catholic conferences across the United States. And we thought we would do a pilot project. And so this will be the first time we tried here in Louisiana. So what we'll have is an opportunity for Catholics to practice faithful citizenship at the Capitol itself. What we plan on doing is bringing them to St. Joseph's Cathedral, the parish hall, in the morning, this Wednesday morning around 8:30, kind of giving an orientation of Catholic social teaching and how our all the legislation filters into that. Then go actually to the House and go to the committee meetings and have them go to, I think, House Education is meeting, and I think Criminal Justice may be meeting. Then they'll have a chance to see how it works. And if we are supporting the bill or opposing a bill, we can have them do the cards and kind of get involved in meeting some of the legislators and then come back for Mass. So the St. Joseph Cathedral is around two blocks from the Capitol itself, and Mass is at 12:05. We'll have transportation back and forth if people need it. And then we'll have a Mass and a light lunch with, we've invited several Catholic legislators to come and just share with us how their faith impacts their public life. We won't be lobbying them on a particular bill. It's just sort of getting Catholic leaders and legislators to reflect a little bit and get to know our participants. Then go back to the chambers and listen to debates and come back around 4:00. So hopefully it'll be a good experience and a little more practical understanding of how the process works and how our Catholic social thought is impacting legislation.
I think that this is perfect timing because at first when I got this press release, I usually hear faithful citizenship over and over and over again, really close to election time. So midterms, presidential elections and everything like that, because of course we're going to the ballot box, we're making that vote as Catholics and we're deciding whom should we vote for. But how timely is this event right now with the Dobbs v. Jackson case? We will find out actually in a few weeks on what the decision will be. Of course, I know you've been busy with the leak and everything like that. That has been hitting the news every day since it's happened. So I think how important is it to be informed for something like this with all this stuff floating around?
Yeah, you made a good point. In name of the event, some states call it Catholic Day on the Hill, but you're right to point out that every 4 years, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops have the Faithful Citizenship document. And really, I think that those words are really what Catholics have a moral duty to be informed and participate in public life. And so we chose that name intentionally, and what we'll do, right, there's so many, you're right, it's a fairly busy session. It's a 3-month session. There were about 1,800 bills filed, but our lens is Catholic social teaching, so we would look at issues that affect the life and dignity of the human person. Of course, all the abortion-related bills, there's a bill we hope to pass that would prohibit the online sales of abortion-inducing drugs. We're actually trying to get more help for our most vulnerable children in our intermediate care facilities. These are facilities that our children, the little gods, the little angels, they have 2 feet, they have trachs, and they really need our help. And so we did some work. We tried to overturn the death penalty. We got, really, we didn't get as close this year as we had hoped. We are looking at all types of ways to reduce the impact of human trafficking. There's a bill by Senator Mizell to to reduce what's called post-conviction relief of a woman who may have trafficked, but she was convicted of prostitution at the time. So we're trying to mitigate that. A whole host of bills around education. You might know that there's a big debate on whether these what's called education savings accounts, which could essentially possibly have money, the money follow the child to a private school under certain conditions. One might be if the child is reading, not reading at third grade level, or the child might be bullied. We weren't successful. Of course, the minimum wage came up. We did try to support a measure to put it on the ballot, like in Arkansas. Their minimum wage is now $11 an hour, state minimum wage. But we don't have a state minimum wage, so we tried unsuccessfully that. So, you know, overall, there's still a lot of work left to do. But so at our faithful citizenship, I'll do a brief overview of the session, you know, where we are, so they can have an understanding of kind of where we are and some of the priority agenda items remaining for the bishops. So, and then all with the lens of Catholic social teaching. So I think that's for us how we want to look at areas that affect the life and the human person. We have our teaching called the Option for the Poor and Vulnerable, the Dignity of Work and the Rights of Workers. How can we improve workforce development programs? The family, making sure the family is intact, but care for our creation, you know, care for our common home. There were several environmental bills to improve air quality that we didn't get passed. So it's very challenging. And that's good. I mean, Catholic social teaching is challenging, and we should try to promote legislation that makes concrete our long tradition of teaching. So it's been an exciting, challenging 2.5 months. We have about 3 weeks left.
Wow. Tom, tell us, because this is the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops, not just, you know, Baton Rouge. This is all bishops in the state. What are there any specific priorities or anything that they really want to, you know, put emphasis on or attention on at the moment?
Yeah, when we met, what we do, we meet in March before the session, and we go over the bills that they want to either support or oppose. So we want to continue to mitigate abortion. We want to get that bill passed that would, prohibit the online sales of abortion-inducing drugs. We want to continue to improve our adoption programs. We have one bill remaining that will improve the way we do adoptions. It's also very, very important. We have some bills that are related to nursing homes to improve. We're doing well, but as you know, there were several nursing home situations not involving directly ours, but there was a lot of legislation to make sure the emergency plans are in place and the evacuation plans are in place. So we want to make sure, and we're fine with that internally, but I think it calls the other people that run nursing homes to be more accountable. So we certainly, and we want to reduce impacts of human trafficking, so we have some bills left to do that. And we still want to continue to work on the environment. There's a couple of bills related to use of plastics, you know, single-use plastics, and that's an issue. So I think this session, the legislature is a little more attuned to the environment. So we still have some remaining work to do. And several issues on the criminal justice reform area. We're trying to improve the procedures for the use of solitary confinement for juveniles. It's really not very organized, and you might have heard some stories about that. So, rightly so. You know, the Catholic Church broadly works through the lens of Catholic social teaching. So, we have many issues that are very important. So. That's our framework.
Yeah, Tom, we only have 30 seconds left. Where can we go? Do we need to sign up for Faithful Citizenship Day? And for those who can't attend, where on their website can you guys go? Because you have a great document that lines all of this.
Yeah. So the website is www.laccb.org. And if you want to register for the conference, contact Susan Wolf. It would be swolf@laccb.org. So swolf@laccb.org to register for Wednesday. And we'd love to have you. We got plenty of room.
Great. Tom Costanza, Executive Director with the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, Gabby. Have a good day.
You too. Alan McLeorato joins us when we come back from the break. It is 1:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Justice Samuel Alito says the Supreme Court continues working despite illegal harassment of justices and their families. While U.S. Marshals are protecting justices, no arrests are being made, and anarchists continue guerrilla strategies to maintain a hostile environment at justices' homes. Senate sponsors of a bill offering justices more protection say their bill is blocked in the U.S. House by untenable demands to expand protection to every SCOTUS staff member. Congressman Chris Smith held hearings displaying evidence of thousands of annual deaths in China from forced organ harvesting from concentration camp prisoners. It follows news in April showing intimate involvement of transplant surgeons in China in the execution of prisoners from procurement of organs. Ethan Gutman of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation cited staggering numbers of victims and organs and the specific age preferred by China's organ harvest campaign. This is Life News Radio. Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the church. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org. In other stories, Pope Francis is calling the low birth rates in abortion-friendly Western nations a social emergency. He warns low birth rates threaten the future. Add baby formula shortages to November election considerations. For 3 months, while this critical food supply shortage has been brewing, abortion-friendly Democrats have been fixated on providing unlimited abortion. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Happy Monday morning, May 16th. So glad you could join us on Wake Up. Damian Colado along with Gabby Smith. And now it's time for our regular friend, Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. He's here to talk about saying you're sorry when it comes to your teens. Big Al, welcome to Wake Up, and sorry I messed up the intro there.
Well, apology not accepted. For the love of God, no, I'm just kidding. No. I think falling forward, teaching Catholic teens how to fall, I think would be an interesting book, but I haven't written that one yet. Hey. But what a great idea.
So yeah, Christ fell a couple of times.
Three times.
I didn't mean a couple, but yeah.
No, I got you. Saying sorry, I think, is a great skill to learn. And honestly, like, how often do we need it as parents and that we don't use it? Mm-hmm. We teach our teens how to respond to us when we don't apologize from the heart. And that's showing remorse and regret and a will to change. So there's some steps, that we say, well, how do we say we're sorry? When should we say it? Obviously, and there's no such thing as obviously, I've learned, but when you've hurt somebody's feelings, when you've hurt somebody, not with telling the truth, but maybe how you told the truth. Because there's times where we speak the truth with love and we can hurt somebody, and we can't really say we're sorry for delivering the message, but maybe in the way that we said the message, we can apologize for. There are other times where we just do something really stupid, or overstep our bounds, or we offend somebody intentionally or call somebody a name. And there's, there's ways to say that we're sorry. And so we always try to get our teens to follow our follow our the way that we set our example. And so we take responsibility for our actions, show some honest, you know, gestures like eye contact, make some eye contact, be in private, you know, be alone with this person. You can always try to fix something, mm-hmm. but it doesn't always necessarily mean it's going to get fixed right then. And I really think like a face-to-face kind of apology is better than, I never really like somebody texting me and saying they're sorry about something. I mean, I'd rather, not that I need them to, you know, grovel, but I would like to know that they mean what they're saying. I'm probably the easiest person in the world to apologize for because I take to heart what the Lord says in the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive mm-hmm. others as you want to be forgiven, or, you know, we're going to be forgiven as we forgive others. And so I don't want to wait because I know I've probably done some stupid things, you know, and the Lord's not happy with. And so when I say I'm sorry, I want to be forgiven quickly. Doesn't mean that the hurt goes away. And a lot of times we mix that feeling up where if I accept your apology, that means I'm not allowed to hurt. And that's not true. You know, we can still hurt. We can still feel bad from what happened. But we can also say, look, you know, I know that you're sorry and I forgive you. I'm just going to need a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So there's things that we can do. And a lot of times as parents, too, we say, well, if I accept your apology, you know, that you skipped school, that means that you think it's okay. And that's not necessarily true. We've got to say, I accept your apology. I know that you did something wrong. You're not going to do that again. And it's going to take me a minute to get over, you know, being lied to.
Yeah. Well, and what about forcing your teen to say you're sorry? I mean, is that something you should do? Because when you think about it, how sincere is that? But they should be in the habit of getting into, if they hurt someone, they should know when to say they're sorry.
Should is a dangerous word, right? We should all over the place. You know?
Whoa! So
it's one.
Really? Okay, I never looked at it that way. Is it a dangerous word?
It is, because we set expectations, and a lot of times we have expectations where our teens may not have been, you know, they don't have the same social understanding as we do. They're still teenagers. They've got a lot of emotions. They've got a lot of, you know, things going on in their life. So when we say, look, you hurt my feelings, I don't want to force you to say you're sorry, but I want you to know that what you did, you lied to me, and I'm not okay with that, and it really hurt. You know, and I it doesn't feel like you're sorry or that you're regretting any of this because I don't hear you saying it. So is that the case? And ask questions. You know, we always have to ask questions, because if we assume that our kids aren't sorry, they may just not know how to say it. Mm-hmm. They may not know how to approach mm-hmm. it. They may be embarrassed for what they did and not be able to put that into words. And so just kind of walking them through that and being patient and owning our feelings, like I'm upset because you lied. You know, and it makes me not trust you, and it makes me feel like you don't trust me or respect me. And kind of lay it on the table. Is that the case? And then let them talk. Because the more we talk, the less they're going to want to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to feel like they've done something wrong. But we've got to own our actions, and it's a great way. It's just they're not going to be where we're at with apologizing, or maybe they're past where we are. But we've got to also kind of walk them through those steps.
And so how do you do that? Is as far as teaching them at an early age, I'm guessing, but even if you didn't and now they're a teen, how do you go about getting them to understand apologizing is important?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's one of those things where when somebody hurts us, we want to say, you hurt me, and then we want the next words to come out of their mouth to be, I'm sorry.
Sorry, right.
You know, and they may not understand. And a lot of times, you know, we take for granted that they understand how they've hurt us or that it was intentional. And they may just have done something stupid like a lot of teenagers do and like we did when we were their age. And so they don't look past their nose like, how is this going to affect somebody else? All they know is I did something, you know, I lied, I didn't get caught. And when I finally got caught, you know, now I'm sorry. And then so we ask questions. Look, I know you said you're sorry. Are you sorry that you got caught? Or are you sorry that it happened in the first place? Tell me what was wrong with your actions, you know? And so let them kind of walk you through why their actions weren't the best.
Yeah.
You know, so let's use lying. So somebody lies to you. Tell me why lying to me is a bad idea. Well, because you're going to get mad if you catch me. Well, that's true. But is that the only reason that you shouldn't lie to me? Because it sounds like you're saying, if you lie and I don't catch you, that it's okay. Is that what you mean? And so we ask questions, right? We ask tons of questions. We walk them through that process to get them to own it. And if they're like, yeah, if I don't get caught, I'm okay with that. And they'll say, well, you can say, well, look, that is not okay. And that's not, you know, you don't want me to lie to you just to get away with it. That's not a good relationship. I love you. I don't want you to lie to me. Yeah. And just so it's a matter of training, you know, and it's, we want it right away, and it doesn't always happen right away.
So what do you do if they don't want to apologize? They're just hard-headed and say, no, I'm not wrong. Sorry. And I mean, not even sorry.
Well, then you give them some time to think about it. I want to give you some time to think about it, because that's not the person that I raised, and that's not the person that I know. And I know that you're angry right now, and I'm not sure why. So maybe you could walk me through why you're being, you know, the way that you're being, and not remorseful, not regretting what you did. Walk me through that, because you hurt me, and it seems like you really don't care. You know, and you might get, well, I don't care, you know, and they're just angry at the time. And so give them some time to think about it.
Okay. So what do you say when love is never having to say you're sorry? You remember that line in the movie?
Oh, what a stupid statement. Honestly, it was one of the worst things I remember. I'm sorry. I'm just very straightforward with stuff. But no, look, I love you. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Well, come on. I mean, how does that work with our relationship with Christ? I love you, Lord, but I'm not going to confession. Come on. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah. Okay. So, Alan, what would you recommend to someone who's, we got 1 minute, having trouble with a teen, what's one or two suggestions real quick?
Have an open conversation, a heart to heart. Hey, listen, lately your actions have been kind of rubbing me the wrong way, and I just want to give you an opportunity to realize and to look at it from my point of view on why I'm kind of upset. And it doesn't mean I don't love you. I just want to talk to you about this and kind of make sure you understand and go from there. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue. It can't be a monologue, but you got to lay out how you're feeling, why you're feeling that way, and own it and be honest with your kids.
Awesome. Alan, where do people go if they want to learn more about what you have to offer?
Check out Adventure Catholic on Facebook or AdventureCatholic.com.
There you go. Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, and great insight always, and thank you for being with us as a regular on Wake Up.
Okay, guys, have a great day. God bless.
God bless you. Gabby, you don't have a teen yet, right?
No, I do not.
But
I'm 2 years away from that.
Yeah, I see you taking notes. That's important.
I'm taking mental notes, for sure.
Well, all right, well, stick around, folks, because we are going to be talking to Father Casey Cole about the Bleacher Brothers. That's right, the Bleacher Brothers. It is already 45 after the hour on Wake Up. Happy Monday morning, May 16th to you. Welcome to Wake Up, Damian Colano, along with Gabby Smith. And right now we're going to be talking to Father Casey Cole. He's up to bat, and he is going to talk about the Bleacher Brothers. But first, he's a Franciscan friar. He's an author, a blogger. He also has an online blog and a YouTube channel called Breaking in the Habit. And he's written several books. His latest, The Way of Beatitude, Living Radical Hope in a World of Division and Despair. Father Casey Cole, so glad to have you on Wake Up this morning.
Well, thank you, Damon. It's great to be here.
Well, good. Okay, I got to ask you right out of the box. You and Father Roberto Tito Serrano, boy, if that doesn't sound like somebody playing center field for Pittsburgh. You guys are going to begin an 11-week road trip that will cover approximately 17,000 miles, from what I understand, attending games at 30 Major League Baseball parks across the country. Have you ever done this before?
Well, first of all, I can say, I assure you I'm in my right mind. It doesn't sound normal. I don't know if anyone's quite done it like this. We're on a tour that's one part childhood fantasy, but in one part evangelism. So we're Franciscans, as you said, so we wear a brown habit, which sticks out in our society. And we kind of wanted just to be present in the other cathedrals, the place that people worship during the summer. And so that's baseball stadiums where 50,000 people gather.
Dude, I love it. And you grew up in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, in Pennsylvania, does that make you a Pittsburgh Pirate fan, or who's your favorite team?
No, so I was on the other side, but I was never a Phillies fan. At this point, I'm a Cubs fan. I lived in Chicago a couple years. Just happened to be
at
the right
time.
Oh, my
gosh, Damian.
Cubs win! Cubs win! I'm with you, brother. I'm wearing the garb today just for you, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah. So how did you become a Cubs fan?
It's an unfortunate story in that I was a Derek Jeter fan. I was a Yankee fan for a number of years, but I realized, you know, when he retired, I didn't actually like the Yankee organization. And so I decided to go the opposite end. I wanted National League and kind of a lovable loser.
There you go.
Wouldn't you know it, within 3 years of me liking the team, they win the World Series. So
that's right.
I feel spoiled.
Well, I know you're a young man, so I was going to be surprised if you already hit all 30 Major League ballparks already. But what a great adventure. So you're bringing the Word of God to a different cathedral, as you said, the Major League ballpark during the summer. Tell me the game plan.
Yes, so we're starting in Middle Georgia, where I live. We're going to drive everything east of the Mississippi. So we'll just do a couple loops, hit about three or four a week. And then we're going to fly out to the West Coast. In between the games, we're going to invite people to go to talks that we have set up in the city. So we want to make sure it's an opportunity for people to see the depth of it, not just, you know, have conversations with us. We'll be celebrating Mass and offering talks and just being present to preach the word.
Okay, and you it looks like, according to the schedule you guys have printed, you begin real soon in Miami, right?
We begin on Thursday. Actually, Father Tito is on a plane right now. I'm going to go pick him up in just a few hours. So for me, the tour kind of begins today, the real prep work.
Okay. And then you wrap up in Colorado, where the Rockies mm-hmm. play, on July 30th. That's the game plan. And the toughest trek right here, looking at this, July 15th, you're in Houston. Then you guys fly all the way back to L.A. the next day to see the Angels play.
Oh, yeah. No, there are going to be some tough days. but we're, the L.A. tour, we're going to get three of the teams in a week, so there's going to be a couple days off. We're going to take a day at the beach, so there's going to be some time off there. But for the most part, it's as hard as we can go for 11 weeks.
Well, great. What happens if you have a rain postponement?
We're not going to entertain that possibility right now.
Well,
not
guess what?
A lot of flexibility.
Well, we're going to start. We have a great prayer line here. We're going to pray that you encounter beautiful weather each and every day on the trip, okay?
Yeah, either way, we're going to go to the stadium just to see it. But, sometimes things don't work out.
Yeah. So what about the book, The Way of Beatitude, Living Radical mm-hmm. Hope in a World of Division and Despair? Tell me what inspired you to write this book.
You know, I pray with the Beatitudes all the time. I think they're a great roadmap for what it means to be holy and to be with Jesus. And they're difficult. And we don't often like them because they're really afflictions. No one wants to be poor or hungry or persecuted. But there's something very powerful about them. And I think what it does is it gives us a greater dependence on God. It helps us focus on what really matters. And it gives us some empathy for those who go through some of these things. And I love the quote, often attributed to Oscar Romero, that there are certain things that can only be seen through eyes that have cried. That you can only really connect with someone if you've gone through it yourself. And not always, but there's a depth to it. And I think that's what the Beatitudes do for us, mm-hmm. is that dependence and connection. So I look at our world in the division, the despair, in kind of the fight or flight mentality, and say, I think there's a third way, a way of reconciliation.
How is the book set up? As far as chapter to chapter, do you take each beatitude and break it down and then maybe do a reflection at the end? Share with us, if we got the book, what we'd be looking at.
Yeah, what you're going to get is all eight beatitudes. You're going to get a chapter for each, split into two parts. And the first part is kind of my own reflection on my own life and what I've experienced and how they relate to the beatitudes, which then transitions into an experience of Jesus and what he teaches and then what we can do with it. Each chapter ends with a few discussion questions for reflection or for group work, and then some practical opportunities to put this into action.
Okay. And what would you recommend the book as far as this sounds like a great book. I'm in a men's prayer group. It sounds like
a great
book for us. If someone has a prayer group, would you recommend this for sure?
100%. I think it's an easy enough book to read because it's really just anecdotal stuff. It's what people experience every day. And so my point with the discussion questions was, I've shown you my story. What's your story? Mm. How have you seen this lived out right now? So it lends itself right away to discussion. My only recommendation would be to take it slow. It's not a super long book, and you could power through. I had one person say they read it in one sitting. Mm. That's great. I feel encouraged that you liked it, but I think you got to take it a week at a time.
That's what I was going to recommend. Yeah, 8 weeks, you'd have it done mm-hmm. from beginning to end. But boy, it'd probably be a life changer, huh?
A woman hope. God does mysterious things through even people like me.
Well, especially right now. There's so much despair around us. We need hope, right?
Absolutely. And that's what the gospel offers. It offers that third way.
Yeah. Now, you became a priest. You were ordained in June of 2019, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So what's it been like? We got a minute to go. As a
yeah.
Franciscan.
Yeah, it's been everything. So more than half my priesthood has been during the pandemic. So it's been preaching a lot of comfort. It's also been opening people's eyes to the reality of things outside of their own walls. So it's been a challenge, but I think it's something that we're perfectly prepared for as Franciscans, for that prophetic aspect, helping people see what's beyond their own noses in some ways, but also to give them hope for a future.
Father Casey Cole, tell us where we can get your book, by the way, and if they want to get their hands on it. Is it already out or is it coming out?
It's been out for about a month or so. The best place is actually Amazon. There's actually a paper shortage, believe it or not. So Amazon's got the biggest stock right now, so we want you to go over there. You can find more information about our tour at bleacherbrothers.org or breakinginthehabit.org.
Are you going to be taking notes and possibly writing a book after this tour?
I have been approached about that. We'll see. It's a daunting task, but, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so I'll consider it.
I'm sure you're going to journal for sure, huh?
Yep, we will be vlogging along the way, so you can check us out at Breaking the Habit on YouTube. We'll have a weekly show at the stadium, so it's going to be a pretty cool production.
Well, great. Well, awesome. When you get to Wrigley right before the 4th of July, man, let's cheer on those
Absolutely.
Cubs. I'm going to be tuning in, okay?
Let's go. I'll be on the field at one point.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh,
well, good.
Cool.
I'm glad you got that set up. Maybe we'll hear about that after the tour. I'd love to have you back on to hear about it, okay?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. Father Casey Cole and his compadre Roberto Tito Serrano going to be making the Bleacher Road Trip at Major League Baseball stadiums all across the country. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Let's wrap up with prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, you refreshed us when you are weary. You restore us when we are broken. You heal us when we are wounded or ill. Hear my prayers for those present and in need of healing, especially family and loved ones. Surround them with your love and with the great power of your healing presence. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.